Good morning. So today's daf is daf Lamed Zayin. We were at the bottom of Lamed Vav Beis. The last thing we had seen was that the students of Hillel and Shammai had made some type of a decree about Gentile women. We had a whole discussion. Gentile women is a biblical prohibition. So the Gemara ultimately says the idea is that the students of Hillel and Shammai made a decree that you can't be alone with a single Gentile woman. Okay. Going back to that earlier brisa at the dot here, it's about seven lines from the bottom. May al davar acher mishum davar acher. What did the brisa mean when it says they made a decree about something else because of something else? So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, that means the following. The Beis Din made a decree, Gazer al Tinok Ovid Kochavim, and made a decree that a baby who's Gentile, Sheyitame Beziva, even when he's a baby, he's treated as a Zav, he's treated as someone who has gonorrhea, has this discharge of barley liquid from his male organ, and he's an Avatuma. Why did they do that? Because Jews were careful with Tumah, and therefore they would stay away from someone who had the status of being very impure. We didn't want to have Jewish boys hanging out with the non-Jewish boys, because if the Jewish boys would hang out with the non-Jewish boys, they might become involved b'mishkav zachur, in homosexual activity, in males sleeping with males. So Gemara says, "Damrav Zera Tzar Gadol Hayuli Eitzur Ravasi V'Ravasi Eitzur Rav Yochanan." I had a lot of pain when I was with Ravasi. Ravasi, when he was with Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan Eitzur Rav Yana, Rav Yochanan he was with Rav Yana, Rav Yana Eitzur Rav Nasan Ben Amram, Rav Nasan Ben Amram Eitzur Rebbe. That we had this big discussion. Tinok Ovid Kochav Me'emas Matamim B'Ziva. At what age is a baby from the Gentiles already considered a zav and creating impurity? Amar Li, and he told me, Ben Yomo, when he's 1 day old, when I came to Reb Chiya, Amar Li, he said to me, no, Ben Teisha Shana V'Yom Echad. When he's 9 years and a day, because when he's 9 years and a day, that's when his intercourse is intercourse. When I came and I told these things before Rabbi, Amar Li, he told me, Hanach Dvarai, okay, stop what I said, accept the words of Reb Chiya, that it's when he's 9 years. That when is the baby of the non-Jews considered a zav? When he's 9 years and a day. Why then? Now starting today's daf, because at that age he is old enough that his intercourse is intercourse. So that's when we have the whole issue. We want to keep the Jews away from the non-Jewish boys because we don't want the non-Jewish boys to have intercourse with the Jewish boys. When they could have intercourse when they're nine, that's when we have to start. So that's when mitami namin beziva. He also creates impurity as if he's a zav. Ravina said, Hilkach, therefore, if we're saying that the issue is because we're worried about intercourse, and already as a child he can do intercourse, hatinokas, when you have a female baby girl, ovedes kochav mu's a Gentile, bashaloshan of yom echad, when she's 3 years and a day, at that point, that's when we should say that she creates the impurity as if she's a zava. Why holuya lebia? Because at that age she is able to her intercourse is intercourse. Netamam nami beziva. So that's when she creates impurity as a zava. So Mara says pshita. That's obvious. Mara says not so obvious. A lot of time I would have thought to say when a boy is 9 years and a day, so he might seduce a Jewish boy. Ha yada largule. He knows how to pull people behind him. But a three-year-old girl, it's true, her intercourse is intercourse, below Yadal Argula, she's not someone who we're worried is going to convince, is going to seduce, is going to sway, is going to pull people behind her to do the wrong things. So therefore, maybe with her, we won't create this decree at such a young age. That's why we needed this Chiddush. Okay, now a story. Mistamach v'azal Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, akat v'ed Reb Simlai Shamei. Rabbi Yehuda Nesia was once walking and leaning on the shoulder of Rabbi Simlai, his attendant. So he was walking and he was having a bit of a hard time walking, so he was getting support from the shoulder of his attendant. Amar Lei, so he said to the attendant, Simlai, Lo Ayis Amish from Beis HaMedrash. You know, we missed you last night. You weren't in the Beis HaMedrash last night. Kishi Tarnu Es HaShemen. And that's when we did what we learned about yesterday. We permitted the oil. We did our research. We discovered that the prohibition against oil had never really spread. And now we, a later court, permitted it. Amar Lo, so Reb Simlai said to him, Yameinu, in our days, tat yirafet sapas. You know what? You're going to keep making permissions. You're going to permit bread too. You permitted the oil. You'll permit the bread also of the non-Jews. Amar lo, so he said back to him, no. In Cain, karulan bezdina sharia. If I would do that, they'd call us a lenient court. A court that's always permitting everything. So that's enough that I permitted the oil. It's not because we don't need a Mishnah. Hey, there's a Masechta called Edios, which really takes you all throughout Shas with different testimonies of what different sages did. So, hey, Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer, Ish Tzreda testified about the following laws. Al-Ayil Kamtza Dachin. Ayil Kamtza is a type of grasshopper. So he said, this grasshopper is a kosher grasshopper. Then he mentioned another law. Al-Mashka Beis Mitbachaya Dachin. There are all sorts of liquids in the temple to the north of the altar. There's blood there. There's water there. All those liquids are pure. They're not impure. And thirdly, al dikriv lemisa, the one who comes close to a dead body, misoev, he becomes impure. So three things: a certain type of grasshopper, ayil kamtza, kosher. Liquids in the temple to the north of the altar, opposite the northern wall of the altar, they're also pure, kosher, fine. And if you touch a dead body, you become impure. The karule, because of this, they call him Yosef Sharia, Yosef who permits everything. So we'll have to see. The Gemara will explain why the third was also a permission of something. Amar Lei, Srim Simlai, said back to Budnesiha. Yeah, there people get called the lenient ones who permit everything when they permit three things. Hasam Shara Tlas, there they permitted three things. Umar, but you, Rabbi Yudin Nasiya, Shara Chad, you only permitted one thing. You permitted the oil. Vishari Mar Chad Achviti, if you would permit another thing, if you would permit the bread, Zakati Tati Udavim, you'd only be someone who permitted two things. You wouldn't get the reputation of being someone who's very lenient, always permits. Amar Lei, so he said, no, I'm already stuck. I've already permitted a second thing. Anash Aroi Yachviti. I already permitted something else. Mayhi, what else did Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya permit? So Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, we know from our Sugya, permits the oil of the Gentiles. What else did he permit? That's now we looked at a Mishnah. There's a Masech in Masechet Gittin. A man who tells his wife, Zegitech, here's your get. This is your get. Imlo basi mikanat shnei masar chodesh. If I don't come from now until the next 12 months. If I don't come within the next 10 months, this is your get. And he dies within the 12 months. So then, says the Mishnah, ain't no get. It's not a get. Because he didn't say it's going to be a... He's saying it's going to be a get after 12 months, when he doesn't come. But at that point, he's already dead. He can't divorce. So therefore, she becomes, if he had no children, she becomes a woman who's a kuka, and she needs either yibum or chalitza. But if he were to say, me'achshav yehei get, this get should be your get from now. Im lo bas yad yud beis chodesh, if I don't come within the next 12 months, and then he dies within the 12 months. So since he said, me'achshav yehei get, it'll be a get from now, then he fulfilled the condition. It was a get from now. She won't need yibum or chalitza. So again, the Mishnah says, if he says, this is your get, if I don't come from now in 12 months, then he dies within the 12 months, so it's not a get. Because the get's only going to take effect once he doesn't come in 12 months. But by then he was dead. He can't create a get. If there's no get and he's dead, there's an issue of yibum. The Tani Allah, but we learned about this, but our sages disagreed. Our sages say she doesn't have issues of yibum. She can remarry. And we say, who are our sages? I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda is the name of Shmuel. Bezdina de Sharu Mishcha. It's the court of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, the court that permitted the Gentile oil. So why? Savila, what was their leniency? Because they went to Masechet Bava Basra, and they held like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi. Tamar says, Manu shel shtar mochiach alav, that when you have a document with a date, the date in the document proves that you want to make the document take effect from that date. So since the date was when he actually handed her the get, that means that that's really when the get is taking effect. And if when he says, if I don't come in the next 12 months, that's just a condition. That condition was fulfilled, so the get took effect retroactively, and therefore she's divorced and she's not a widow. Rabbi Abba, the son of Rabbi Bar Abba, said, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya Hora. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, he was the one who permitted this woman to remarry without getting chalitz or yibum. V'lo hodulo, but the other sages did not agree to him, kol shaito, throughout his lifetime. Ramila kol siyasa, others say the other group, the other members of the group didn't agree to him. Okay, but that was the second thing that he had permitted. So since that was his second thing he had permitted, he said, I can't permit also the bread, because then they're going to not take me seriously. They'll say, oh, he just permits everything. He's just Mr. Lenient.
So this court here was like ruling wrong stuff, Rabbi?
No, the Gemara's not saying that it's wrong. The Gemara was saying it was right. But the Gemara said that, you know, you can't always be lenient, because if you're always lenient, then people think that they don't take you seriously. They say, oh, he's always lenient, so he's always, you know, he can't always be lenient, so then they just never take him seriously. They never accept his leniency. So.
Is this three people court, or there was more than that?
There was more. It was a Sanhedrin. So now a question. Amarlay. Who is it? This is Amarle Rebbe Lazar. Amarle Rebbe Lazar Lahu Sava. Rebbe Lazar said to this old rabbi who was there when Rebbe Yehuda Nasiya had permitted this woman who had such a get to remarry without even more chalitza. Kishri Sua, when you permitted her, La'alter Shri Sua, right when her husband died, did you permit her to Lo Asi? Because at that point you knew he wasn't going to show up. Odil Malacha Shnei Masar Chodesh, or maybe it was only after 12 months. When he didn't actually show up, that you permitted her to Ha'ikayim late tonight, because at that point the condition had been fulfilled. So the old man said to Rebbe Lazar, "V'tibay lachamas nisin, ask it about the Mishnayos in Gittin. It's not we learned there in Gittin. If a man gives a get to his wife and he tells her, Harezek itech me'achshav, this is your get from now. This is your get from now." So then, certainly, it's going to take effect retroactively right away. If he says, "Areza gitech me'achshav im lo basi mikanat shnei masar chodesh," if I don't show up within 12 months, that you get from now, umeis besoch shnei masar chodesh, and he dies within the 12 months, then have he get? Then it is a get, and she doesn't need yibum chalitza. So v'tibayelach, so ask there. If he died within the 12 months, la'al travi get, does that mean that the get is right when he dies? Talo asa, because you know he's not going to show up. Maybe only after the 12 months is it a get, retroactively from when he gave it, and he said it's a get me'achshav, to ha'ikayim late tonight, because at that point the condition was fulfilled. Answer to Belazar in a Hanami. You could have asked the question about the Mishnah, but I'm not asking you about the Mishnah, because you weren't there at the Mishnah. But you were there when Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya permitted it. So now I'm asking you, what would the law be in the following case? The Gemara doesn't resolve that.
So, Rabbi, if he shows up the way he says, if I don't show up after 12 months...
Within 12 months, it's a get, right.
But how about if he shows up?
Then it's not a get.
It's not a get anymore.
Yeah.
What happens if he dies in month 8?
Yeah, right.
Still, it's not a get. Do we say that it's... No, if he dies in month... The question here is, if he dies in month 8, is it going to be a get now already in month 8? Because we know he's not going to show up over the next 4 months. He's already dead. Or do we say, no, you still have to wait the full 12 months. And if he didn't show up within the 12 months, so then he's to get supposed to wait.
She's free at last, right?
That's for sure.
Oh, maybe he is.
That's right. That's right. Okay, going back to this argument in the Mishnah. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, Hakol Modim. Everyone agreed to the following different terms that he would use. If he says, Harezek Yitzech, this is your get. Likashetetze Chamim Min Artika. That was what he said. Harezek Yitzech, this is your get. Behold, this is your get when the sun will come out of its pouch. Then he's saying it's a get once the sun rises. It's not going to be a get before that. If he dies that night, then it's not a get. It's a get la'achar misa. It's a get after death. And she's stuck with yibam and chalitza issues if there were no kids. If he says, hareza gitech, this is your get, almanas, on condition, shetetze chama min artika, on condition that the sun come out of its pouch, then me'achshav kamala. That he's saying it's a get from now, on condition that the sun will rise tomorrow. V'chimayis b'leilah, so if he dies that night, havadet noyavi, the condition was still fulfilled. The sun rose the next day, and therefore, it's a get mechayim. That was a get during his own lifetime. And she doesn't need yibam or chalitza. This is like Kidur Avuna. This is like the lesson of Ravuna. Amar Ravuna, Ravuna taught. Kol omer almanas, if you say, here is something. Almanas, on condition. On condition is komer me'achshav dami. On condition means that you're saying it's going to happen from now, if the condition takes place. But it's going to happen from now. So when is there the whole argument, the whole discussion? Lo nechleku, the only argument is in the following case. Ella, if he tells the wife, harezek yitech, this is your get. Im teitze, if the sun is going to rise, or im lo avo, if I don't come within 12 months. And then he dies. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Savar Lakri Rabbi Yosi Damar Zmanah Shel Shtar Mochiach Alav Vavule Kimeh Hayom Imesi. Rabbi Yehuda ruled like Rabbi Yosi, and he held, since it's a date of the Shtar, that's the trigger point at when it's taking effect, and it's like an almanas. If I don't come, then it's taking effect from now. But Kimeachshav Imesi, right? It's as if he said, it's from now if I will die, or if it's saying it's from today if I will die. However, Rabbanan, the Rabbanan, less with Rabbi Yossi, they disagree with Rabbi Yossi. And that's why they say it's not me'achshav, it's ke'omer, it's kezegitech imati greda, just like a person saying, this is my get, if I die. So since he's saying if I die, that means it's to take a get, to become a get after he dies. At that point, it can't be a get. So therefore, she's not divorced, but rather she's a widow, and she has the problems of Yibum and Chalitza. Okay. So let's go back. We quoted a mission in Adios, which was the reason why Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya didn't want to permit the non-Jewish bread. As he said, if you permit three things, then they call you the lenient person. So if I'm going to permit bread after I've already permitted oil and I've permitted the get, I've permitted a woman who doesn't, I told her she doesn't need even chalitza, they're going to call me Mr. Lenient. So let's go back to that Mishnah. So Gufo, we learned, where do they call someone the lenient person? Hey, Yossi ben Yoezer, ish Tzreda. Yossi ben Yoezer from Tzreda testified about three things. Number one, al ayil kamtza, that this type of a grasshopper, ayil kamtza, dachin, it's pure, in other words, it's kosher. And about all the liquids in the temple that were to the north of the altar, dachin, that they're pure. And a third thing, if a person comes too close to a dead body, he becomes impure. And then the people called him Yosef Shariot, Yosef, the man who permits things. My Ayil Kamtza, what is this grasshopper Ayil Kamtza? Rav Papa Amar Shushiva. Rav Papa said it's the Shushiva grasshopper. It's the Suzbil grasshopper. Rav Papa Amar Shushiba. Rav Papa said it was the Shushiba grasshopper. The Kamifulgi and the argument is about the following. Birosho Aruch. It was a grasshopper that had a very long head. Mar Savar, some are of the opinion, Rosho Aruch Asr, a very long head is prohibited. Mar Savar, the other one held, Rosho Aruch, even though the grasshopper has a long head, mutter, it is kosher.
How do you have to
shecht? No, you don't have to shecht the grasshoppers.
You're killing it alive. You're preparing it alive.
I think so. I think you're allowed to eat it when it's alive because it doesn't have the physiology of an animal. They fry, they cover them with chocolate. They're, I know my friend Rabbi Soloveitchik made a whole party in his shul, a Spanish-Portuguese shul, of these unusual foods. They got sick, I think. People had stomach problems.
Stick to the hummus.
Rightfully.
Stick to the hummus.
They tried to blame it on the pancake.
So, we have Shishiba. The argument is about the following. Rosh Ha'orach, when you have a grasshopper with a long head, Mar Savar, the rabbis who disagreed with Yossi ben Yoezer, they felt Rosh Ha'orach Asur, a long head is also prohibited. Mar Savar, but Yossi ben Yoezer held Rosh Ha'orach Mutter, a long head grasshopper is one of the permissible species. It wasn't Shushiba, it was Suzbil. If you have a grasshopper with a long head, that's not a kosher grasshopper. The question is, when you have the grasshopper whose wings just barely cover the majority of the body, is that considered a kosher type? As long as it's some way, the majority of the body, even just barely, that's also enough to make it kosher. It has to be a clearly, apparent majority. When you look at it, you don't have to measure. Right away, you see that the majority is covered. And since you don't have that in the Ayil Kamsa, therefore, they held it wasn't the kosher species.
What is the source for this ruling that the Chagav is kosher?
Oh, that's in the Torah. The Torah says that the Chagavim are kosher. The question just is, which species of Chagavim? So they had different Masorot, they had different traditions. Then the Mishnah in Edio said that another thing Yossi ben Yoezer taught about was that Mashke Beit Midbachaya Dachin, that the liquids in the temple to the north of the altar were all pure. My Dachin, what does it mean pure? Rav Amar Dachin Mamish, literally pure, that even if they would touch an impure thing, they would not become tummy. Shmuel Amar Dachim Milatami Achim. No, they themselves could become Tame, but if they touched something and became Tame, they wouldn't make other things Tame. Aval Tumas Atman Yeshua, but they themselves would have an impurity.
Sorry, this is the wine.
No. The wine that was poured would go all the way down into the bowels of the mountain. This is a reference to the blood and water that was to the north of the temple.
Impure, Rabbi, is not pure, right? The court did the wrong thing on it, am I right?
No, it was the right thing. It's the right thing.
I thought the blood and the oil and everything becomes impure.
No, in the temple it was pure.
Yeah.
So Rav Amar Rav said, Dachin Mamish, that literally the whole thing is pure and it can't become impure, because Kasava, Rav's of the opinion, Tumas Mashkin Drabbanan, the whole idea that liquids can become impure is a rabbinic construct. Therefore, the rabbis wanted to protect the temple. So they said, liquids outside of the temple can become impure. But the liquids in the temple, the liquids near the altar, they never imposed the possibility of them becoming impure. Shmuel said, no, what it means is when they say that they're pure, is they're pure from making other things impure. But they do have their own impurity. Because he's of the opinion, Tumas Mashkin to Oraisa, impurity on liquids themselves is biblical, that they can't do anything about. Letami Acherim, but that a liquid can become tummy enough to make other things impure. That's Midrabana, that's rabbinic. So therefore, he calls Rabbana Mashkin to Alma. The rabbis imposed their law in general on liquids. But Mashkin based Mid Bachaya, lo Gazru, but they didn't want to impose their law on the liquids in the temple. Because it was the temple, so they didn't want impurity in the temple. So in the temple, they said that those liquids can't make things impure. Then there was the third thing that Yossi ben Yoezer had said. He had said that this ayil kamsa, this type of a grasshopper, is kosher. He had said mashke beis mikbachaya is tahor. That means it's either pure itself or it's pure that it can't make other things impure. And the third thing he said was the yikarev lemisa misai. If a person who comes too close to a dead body becomes impure. They started to call him Yosef, who's always lenient. Of course, what do you mean Yosef, who's always lenient? Yosef Asarmi Boiler. They should call him Yosef, who's strict. He's saying somebody's impure. What do you mean that if you come close to a dead body, that's something that he said? Oh, I see. That's biblical. That's a pasuk. Everybody knows that. Everyone knows from a verse that if you touch a dead body, you become impure. The pasuk says, any person who touches on the face of a field, even b'chalal cherev, the murderous knife, or a mace, or the dead body, be'etzem adam, a bone of a person, be'kafir, or a grave, yitmashiv asyamim, is tummy for 7 days. We need Yossi ben Yoessa to tell me that if you touch something tummy, you become impure. The Gemara suggests like this. Maybe do'oraisa, the pasuk, the biblical verse, the Torah law, is the yikarev tummy. If you touch a dead body, you become impure. Yikarev be yikarev. If you touch a person who touched a dead body, biblically you would be tar, you'd be pure. Vasa inu, so Yossi ben Yoezer is coming, the Gazer, and he's saying there is a decree that even if you touch a person who touched a dead body, that also makes you impure. Afilu di yikarev be yikarev, even coming close to the one who came close. So that's what the rabbis had said. I'm sorry, the rabbis had said even someone who touches the one who touched is impure, v'asa ihu. So what's Yossi ben Yoezer doing? He's doing a leniency. He's saying, he's going back to the biblical law. He's annulling this rabbinic law. And he's saying, you're impure if you touch the dead body itself. But if you touch the person who touched if you touch a person who touched the dead body, you don't become impure. He couldn't do that. The fact that if you touch someone who touched a dead body, you are impure, that's not a rabbinic law, that's a biblical law. As the pasuk says, whatever the tamei person touches becomes tamei. So, what's going on here in this mishnah? Amru Rabbanan kamei de Rava, mishmei de Mar Zutra. The rabbis taught this in front of Rava in the name of Mar Zutra, bereid Rav Nachman, the son of Rav Nachman, dam mishmei de Rav Nachman, who taught this in the name of Rav Nachman. You're right. The orais on a biblical level, if you touch someone who touched a dead body, you also become impure. But really, biblically, that person that you touched, who makes you impure, has to still be touching the dead body. Diyakrav b'diyakrav b'chiburin. If you touch the one who himself touched, it's if you guys are all still attached, then Tomas Shiva, then there's the impurity of 7 days. In other words, if a guy is touching a dead body, and while he's touching a dead body, I touch him, then I become impure for 7 days. Shalom b'chibur. But if he touched a dead body and he's no longer touching the dead body, and I touch him when he's not attached to the dead body, Tomas Erev, I become impure, but just for that night. Till that night I become pure. So that's where the rabbis had made a decree. They said, the rabbis said that even when it's a person touching someone who touched a dead body, and that person is not currently touching the dead body, it's impure for a full 7 days. So Yosef ben Yoezer is lenient, because he's the lenient one. He said, no, let's go back to the biblical law. If I'm touching a person who's currently touching a dead body, and we're all like attached to the dead body, I can be impure for 7 days.
Sure.
But if I'm touching somebody who touched a dead body, and he's not currently touching the dead body, then I'm only going to be impure for 1 day. For sure. Yeah. An av. Yeah.
Still an av.
Yeah. It has the status of a cherev harehu kachalal. That's like the dead body itself. It's avi avot. It's a special stringency on metal. So the Gemara now asks, how do you know that biblically there's this distinction between touching someone who's currently touching a dead body and touching someone who had touched a dead body? Where do you see this difference in the biblical verses? It says, someone who touches a dead body for every soul will be impure for 7 days. Then it says, "V'chalasher yigabohu hatameh." Whatever the tameh touches, yitma will also be tameh. But then it says, "V'nefesh anogas titmada arev." The person who touches is only tameh till the evening. So, ketzad. So, how do you resolve the contradiction? Whether you're tameh 7 days or tameh only till the evening? So kan b'chiburin, if all are attached to the dead body, then it's 7 days. Kan shalo b'chiburin, when is it? Only till the evening when they're not all attached. Amalu Rava. Rava said to the sages, Lav amina l'chu, didn't I tell you? Lotisli be'buki sriki b'Rav Nachman. Don't hang empty barrels in Rav Nachman. Don't say things that don't make sense from Rav Nachman. Because Rav Yossi wouldn't say this. He wouldn't say that. He's not talking about the impurity of people who are touching each other and touching a dead body. Because Hachi Amar Rav Nachman, this is what Rav Nachman said. Safik tuma birshus harabim yutilahen. When Yossi ben Yoezer Ish Tzveda was involved with the laws of impurity, he wasn't permitting this issue of someone who touches someone who had touched a dead body but is not currently touching a dead body. No, he was talking about a different issue. When the person's not even sure if he touched a dead body. So when we have Safik Tuma, so if it's in a private domain, you have to be strict. In a public domain, then he's pure. You're not strict. And that's what Rav Yossi ben Yoezer Ish Tzveda was saying. He was saying, if you are sure of the impurity, then you're impure. But if you're unsure, then in a public domain, you're pure. So Gemara says, 1 second. For that, we need Yossi ben Yoezer Ish Tzveda. V'ha hilchasa misota gaminala. This is derived from sota. Sota, it's a suffix. We don't know what happened in the private room. And we're strict, but that's only because it was a private room. In the public room, in the public area, we wouldn't be strict. We learn from Sota that when should we say Safik Tuma Tame? Only in a private domain. So we don't need Yossi ben Yoezer to testify about this. This is Masechta Sota. And so the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan though said that this law that Safik Tuma in a public domain is Tahar, is Halacha Vein Morin Kain. It's Halacha. But if somebody's going to ask you about it, you won't tell him that because you're not going to spread this halacha, because we don't want people to be disrespectful and discount the severities of tuma. Vasayu, so what did Yossi ben Yoezer do? Orilei oruye, he was lenient in that he taught everybody this law. Tanya Namiyach, we also have a braisa that says that that's what was going on with Yossi ben Yoezer in Mesechet Edios. Rabbi Yehuda explains, what did Yossi ben Yoezer do? He did 3 things. He said, Ayil kam, so this grasshopper is kosher. He said that the liquids of Beis Mitbachai are pure. And the 3rd thing he did was koros natzlehen. He put up beams in the street between the private fields versus the public paths. And they should know. And he said, Vamar, and he explained, Ad kantil this beam, where the path is, it's Rishas Sarab, it's a public domain, and if there is a doubt about Tumah, it would be pure. Ad kan, but over here on the other side of the beams, where they're private fields, it's Rishas Hayach, it's a private domain, and if there is Safik Tumah, it's Tamei. Kiyasu l'kamid Rav Yanai, when they came to Rav Yanai, he said, and they told him this thing, that they had a Safik, if they had become Tumah in a public domain, he said, you know what? So go to the mikvah. I'm a loose, so what's the big deal? Hamaya b'shikiasa. You've got water in the valley, to the hara of the river. Zilu tzvulu. So go to the mikvah. So it's true that technically a doubt about impurity in a public domain is pure. But why rely on that? Go to the mikvah. Okay, the Mishnah taught that there are all sorts of things that belong to the Gentiles that we are not allowed to eat, but we are allowed to get benefit from them. And one of them is what the Gentiles cook, shlakos, even if they cook it a lot, to the point that it's coming apart. Minani mili, how do we know that you can't eat the cooking of the Gentiles? Amar Reb Chiya Bar Abba explained, Amar Reb Yochanan explained, Amar Kar, the Pasuk says, that when Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to convince Sichon to let the Jews travel through Cheshbon, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ochel ba'kesef tashbireni ve'ochalti, food with money you will sell to me and I'll eat. And waters with money you'll give to me and I'll be able to drink it. So that's to tell you, what can I eat? Kamayim, I can only eat things that are like water. Mamayim shelo nishtanu, water is something unchanged, the non-Jew didn't cook it. Afochel shelo nishtanu, so too, what food will I eat from the non-Jews? Food that didn't change, food that wasn't cooked. So Gemara says, Elameata, but if this is the case, you can't have the things that the non-Jews change. Chitin v'asan kloyos. Let's say the non-Jew takes wheat and he dries the wheat in his oven. Tachanami da'asun, are you not allowed to eat that? Has it changed? It was cooked. If you're going to say that that's the case, the wheat that the non-Jew takes and dries out in the oven, you are allowed to eat. Ella, so the point was, kamayim. The verse says, I'll take water, I'll take food from you, I'll take water from you, so the food has to be like the water. Just like the water hasn't changed its shape, so to the foods that haven't changed their shape, and when you dry fig, you dry wheat in an oven, it also hasn't changed its shape still. So Gemara says, one second, but according to this, wheat that were ground up, and are we going to say that at that point they become prohibited because they were ground, because they changed their shape? If you're going to say that that's the case, wheat that was dried out in the oven, the thick flour, the fine flour, mutarin is allowed. Hello, it has to be kamayim like water. Or just like water hasn't changed its shape through heat. So to food that hasn't changed its shape through heat. So Gemara asks, but maybe works it, but where did it talk about heat? Gemara says, you're right. This pasuk is not the source. Elamid Rabbanan. It's a rabbinic law not to eat what the non-Jews cook. The pasuk is just a way to remember it. It's just an asmachta, a way to keep thinking of it. Atkan daf lamed zayin.